Audit committee every quarter looks at the action plans and what consumed a large amount of the province's budget. Obviously, the budget is never sufficient. We obviously have to manage within it, but it has been listed as a risk that affects the department. As I mentioned, the audit committee monitors the risk register quarterly, as well as statements of the action plan. We've specifically given attention to the water situation about the readiness of the department to manage the risks and that any water shortages at the school level will impact. And we do get presentations at the last two audit committee meetings on the readiness of the department. Then moving on to the control situation and the internal audits, I must say up front that the education department has received a clean audit from the Auditor General. I think it's probably second or third year in a row. So I think overall, the control environment in the Department of Education is sound. The internal auditors do look at the risk register and direct their audits into those risks that have been identified in the department, to see how the department is managing those risks. And the areas that they have looked at, the first one is the delegations, which I think my colleague also mentioned, so it's been done in all the areas. There has been some progress. Some areas of non-compliance were identified. These are mainly, looking at the audit report, it seems that the delegations are in place, but they're not updated regularly, and they can be updated more regularly, and they're not consolidated. So you can't go to one place and find, consolidated the delegations, etc. But the delegations are in place, and we have no evidence of anybody acting outside the delegation authority. Then the next area we look at is the quality of marking of papers in schools. The areas for improvement that were identified were areas in resource planning and some of the marking processes. There was issues around attendance registers in some cases that weren't completed in reporting up the line, and some problems with provision of reserve markers in some areas. And then there was also evidence of tolerance levels. Of tracking of marking mistakes in the marking. We couldn't find evidence of those particular areas. But apart from that, the areas were fine. Then the next audit they looked at was district financial monitoring. This is where the district actually go to the schools and monitor their performance, and the school governing bodies do a report up the line to the department itself. Areas for improvement in the information submitted by districts to head office, as well as school oversight by districts were identified. So there were some inconsistencies between the information actually submitted by some of the schools submitted more complete information than the others. So some of the information was inconsistent. Some of the minutes in some areas of other action plans, due date, so it's difficult to follow up with some of these action items that identified were being implemented. Then the financial evaluation program requires standardization. So the district actually goes to the schools with an evaluation program to the various areas in the financial side of the schools, and it's not standardized. It needs to be standardized across all schools to ensure that things like segregation of duties in some areas is not looked at as closely as it should be. So that's an area for improvement on the financial monitoring side. Then continuity planning, consulting assignments, and emphasis to the department's continuity strategy. That's all about succession planning. What is the department doing about when teachers leave or retire? How are they identifying developing talent coming through? So the internal audit had a look at the strategy document and made comments in terms of its adequacy, areas for improvement on skills transfers and union numbers, and guidelines on how to manage staff development. Generally, the continuity planning strategy document was fine. Then on the last thing they looked at was the IT governance charter, where it was assessed to be adequate, and some areas for enhancement were recommended, but that has been minor. The key thing I think in the IT governance area, now from the internal audit perspective, is to monitor the rollout of the governance framework across the department. That's going to be the next challenge. Then lastly, I think it's an issue that has also been raised by some of the other committee members. deadline, and then that deadline is not achieved. And there's always a lot of reasons for why this is happening. But I think if you look overall, it seems to be an area of improvement, and an area that the internal audit, the audit committee tends to continue to stress the management. And we're hoping that we'll see improvement in that measurement as we go forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Maseko.
Thank you, Mr. President. My question is final about the this last comment of the implementation of Asian Plan, the concept of your group. From the first committee staff with the delayed implementation, the rate of implementation, is there a will for the management, or they are not giving the implementation attention that it's supposed to be, or is
that they find a
way to them that whenever they have time, they'll do it?
I think it seems to be a combination of factors. I think sometimes they are unduly optimistic, and they say, yes, I've implemented them, I'll do it in 3 months, and then they've taken up other issues, and something like that, and think, oh, I've got a week to do this, and it doesn't get into in time. A lot of the action plans or control measurements or improvements relate around systems development. So there are a lot of dependencies outside the top, and they're reliant on IT, other areas, sometimes consultants to actually to help them to develop some of the fixes. So there are dependencies outside of their own area of responsibility. So that changes. And I think there's probably a need for more monitoring of this at an internal level. You know, it's done by internal audit, they go back and they revisit the finding, and they're also evidence that the finding has been fixed. And if they can't find the evidence, they mark it as not fixed. So there needs to be, in my view, more work done at the department before they get to the audit committee, rather than the audit committee providing it. So there needs to be more oversight than they need.
Yeah. The thing is that it's very useful. We've got this area. District financial monitoring. I'd like to understand what you mean when you say financial evaluation. Programs require standardization processes, because as we all know, equal thousands is not fair. It's not real. So, and that there are huge discrepancies between what schools can and cannot do. So what does that mean? Does it mean a uniform template that everybody needs to fill in? Is that kind of standardization, or even monitoring the standard? I can't understand what you mean by that. Then on your continuity planning, you spoke about, it speaks about the continuity of education going on, but for a teacher to have a reason to come to school, there needs to be learning. So why is the transport system and the discrepancy which cost this department a pre-audit before not a risk? Because unless those issues that were raised then have been cleared, although we know that the transport allocation done by Public Works, it's not them, but it's their financial model that was questioned as to how they allocated the funds to whoever got the tender. So isn't that also a risk that could raise its head in the future again? Then another risk that I think not see risk in terms of the lack of the diversifying of the types of education facilities that there are.
Thank you for the question. The first question on the around the evaluation, standardization of evaluation programs. I think you're right that there are different types of schools with different resources, etc. But there are some requirements, many of the requirements are the same across schools. They obviously will not have the resources to respond. But the evaluation programs are designed to ask questions. So in other words, is there a segregation of duties between receiving and payment of goods, which is a school function control. And that would apply to all schools, as an example. And if that is not there and not asked a question, then it doesn't get responded to. And if there is a weakness in that area, it's not followed up at the school level. So, yes, I agree that a lot of the responses to the questions will be different from school to school. But I think the questions that need to be asked need to be consistent from a financial perspective, no matter what school you're dealing with. Because the financial areas and financial controls to a greater or lesser extent need to be present in some form or other, or need to be, there needs to be an action plan to improve as far as possible.
So, did I hear you say that, and I agree with you that the question should be the same, did I hear you say it's the lack of responding to the responses that's the problem?
No, the audit finding was the lack of standardization of the questionnaires to ensure that the questions are asked. So that wasn't the issue in this particular finding.
Could that not become a problem?
It could become a problem, yes. Any other questions? Your issue around the transport system, and also the issue around the diversification of schools. And why I'm on the risk register. I focus here on the strategic risks. I didn't see them on the strategic risk register. However, there are a number of risks at the operational level. I think what we should do is inquire the department itself as to whether these risks are monitored at an operational level. They're not. We tend to focus on the audit committee on the strategic risk register. And the question is whether they should be strategic risks.
Yeah, I just want to ask something in the first place of the budget constraints. Now, the department every year is sitting with the situation where there's migration to the province, and they have to then, from January to now, start doing these temporary classes, accommodate thousands of learners. And as we stand now, I think about 4 learners are in class, who have been accommodated. Would that not be, I don't think it's a risk, it's a crisis, or it's a reality in all that. But out of this situation, is there other risk that can be developed that can come out of this situation? That leads on to these learners not having their right to schools, you know, to education, I think, for that. Because that seems to me, is playing out in the world. And I'm sure the department has done the utmost best to accommodate to go to these temporary schools, but because they never know how many learners come, and even after the time, if the people are just come in the numbers, goes down by the numbers, doesn't come to zero. So I'm not sure if they had an investment or they have raised it as an issue, because I'm not saying it's a risk, I'm saying it's a reality. It's almost like a curse year to year.
That is one of the key elements in the risk register, is this migration of pupils to the province every year. And many contributing causes and results, in fact, even budget constraints, even, and even more sorely felt trying to Thank you very much for coming and
and there is a